Hi. God, I've been sitting here trying to figure out just one thing to talk about, and it's not as easy today. Today was a few things. Well, here's a few of them. It's really significant to me that I finished restoring, like stripping and not refinishing, but used beeswax on this furniture that was my great-grandmother's today. It's this large wardrobe piece that, for whatever reason, for many years, I deluded myself into believing had a cedar closet in it. It does not, which it took refinishing the thing to realize. And I learned how to strip furniture, I guess, over the course of working on a few pieces. This is furniture that I always liked as a kid. I always smelled full of mothballs. And I asked to have it shipped out. I paid to ship it out to California many years ago. And my great grandmother, who I did know, she died a little bit after my sister's bat mitzvah, so I guess I had maybe 13 years to know, 14. She was one of the strongest, probably strongest women I ever met. Unbelievably tough. Linebacker tough. Did not look unlike a linebacker. I knew her as Ganesha. That's just what we always called her. I knew she'd escaped from her shtetl in Kolinkovich and hid my grandfather under the straw as a little kid to get out. I knew her husband had already left, and I knew she tracked him down when she got to Canada, found him, and made him kind of stick around. So I knew she was super tough and clearly like the pushy matriarch of the family and a survivor. And I never heard the name again until I went to yoga in San Francisco, probably in the 90s, maybe a little later, probably after the 90s. And there was an elephant painted on the wall, which is the Ganesh, the Hindu god, but I didn't know that. I didn't know that much about Hinduism. A tiny bit, but not about Ganesh. And when they told me that the elephant was named Ganesh, I felt like it was my great grandmother there because she's not unlike an elephant, to tell you the truth. She was big and broad-shouldered, barrel-chested, and tough, and she really carried her chin up and her face forward and asserted her importance as a woman who had no other importance other than in her family, and I guess the small Jewish community. I have a very vivid memory of going to shul for Simchas Torah, which is the holiday when we begin reading the Torah all over again, and you turn the scrolls, and people take turns walking with the Torah, which is a great honor around the room. And it was a very tiny and, if not traditional, old-fashioned, weird, eclectic little community. And women were not allowed to read from the Torah or touch it. Generally, I didn't at my bat mitzvah, so I get to read it or touch it. But they let her, she was really like pretty old, they let her carry one around in Simchas Torah. And she looked like she felt she was the Queen of England. So proud of everything and herself. And I guess that's how I think of her. And there's something about her furniture to me that I know that people in the family would say how proud she was to have it, how much it meant to her. I guess it was a fancy thing to have, in this new world. And I had to tell you, I just aesthetically, beyond all this stuff, I just liked it. I thought it looked good. But it had this flaky finish on it. It's pretty old. I only really found out in asking my mom while I was working on it. It's probably from the 30s. It's probably really even older than I thought it was. And I always assumed it was, different kinds of wood held together because I didn't think they knew they didn't have that much money. Anyway, my friend who's seen pictures seems to think it's maybe cherry. It's definitely solid and it's heavy as hell. So it's nicer than I imagined. It's funny that for her, fancy was new and having it look the way it looked. And for me, you couldn't afford to buy this as new furniture for sure. Not even today. taking something off of it makes it new to me. I don't know how vulnerable a topic is, but it's important to me today. And I really still feel her, you know, around. I don't know how close. I was a little kid. Mostly she was scary. I mean, she spoke Yiddish. I didn't really know much Yiddish. And it seemed far away. And she was imposing. And, you know, someone would babysit when nobody else was around. And mostly I was irritated at things like her making me a peanut butter sandwich on rye bread. I was deeply offended. God, couldn't understand how anyone would do such a terrible thing. My 8-year-old frustration. But I just guess I have, well, I also didn't have to be raised by her, but I have endless admiration for her now, and I definitely think about her strength and what the hell she went through. I mean, to do what she did is anyone who left a country to come to North America. Generally, it's not such a piece of cake. When you had to escape, it was especially hard. So it's very comfortable to remember her and talk about her. It was really gratifying to, it's basic and simple and tangible. And like so much work that I or anybody does now, which is abstract or about ideas, writing, thinking. So to really just do something physical was a really great feeling. And my friend Jill suggested not putting any more polish or paint or varnish on it. We just put beeswax on it. And today we had it moved back up here and I finished it. And I feel proud. We lit the candles. It was Hanukkah. We went to our shul's Hanukkah party. I have a little envy. Not so much at the party, but around the holidays sometimes. It's especially hard for me. I've seen a couple of lesbians become moms recently. It's harder for me with lesbians for some reason, maybe because it's closer to the process I went through, the child that I lost. So I think of my great grandmother and the people before me doing so much so that I could be here and to keep Jews existing, and kind of feeling like I'm the end of the line, like I failed, you know, I had one child who didn't make it through my pregnancy, which I guess I feel odd mentioning because I just talk about it so much in the show I'm working on. It's called Everything is Subject to Change. But I guess that wraps around, because I am hoping to see if there's a way if I can collaborate with the shul on it, and I talked to the rabbi tonight about it, and she was open to it, which is exciting. So for me, kids are so connected to shul and Jewish holidays. They're such a deep, deep place where those things connect. And there's always some sadness for me at the holidays. Hanukkah is very much a kid's holiday. And yeah, I'm sad that I don't have them. I know my life isn't right now in a place to have them, but I love having them around, and it's a real, I would say, blessing, which is a weird word for me to use. It's not a word I would have made any sense to me before in my life, but it's just great to be around them. And if you have kids, you're very lucky. Happy Hanukkah.